From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Wisconsin-based progressive activist Randy Bryce just won a Democratic primary race for the 1st Congressional District, which is currently represented by House Speaker Paul Ryan. Bryce beat opponent Kathy Myers in a vote of 59.6% to 40.4%. Bryce, who is known by the nickname Iron Stash, is hoping that his positions favoring single-payer health care, a $15 an hour minimum wage, and climate justice will garner enough support to beat the Republican candidate that Paul Ryan endorsed and who just won his primary, Brian Steele. I had spoken with Randy Bryce some months ago, and here is our conversation.
Why? Let's talk about why you have chosen to run for Congress. As far as I can tell, you have never held elected office before?
No. And the thing is that for the past 20 years, the time that Paul Ryan has been in Congress, he's been making friends and cozying up with special interests, with lobbyists, billionaires. And you're seeing the kind of legislation like this tax law that was just recently passed is helping those kinds of people out. And meanwhile, the last 20 years, I've been struggling with the people in the district, just trying to keep roofs over our heads. We've been working harder and harder every year, and we're having less and less to show for it.
So tell me a little bit about yourself. What does an iron worker do?
We do either placing rebar before the concrete's poured or structural iron workers, putting up the actual skeleton of a building. We do work on bridges, ornamental, stairs, basically anything to do with iron and placement on a construction job site.
And you've been doing this for a long time. You're also a union guy.
Correct. I belong to Ironworkers Local 8. We've been around for over 115 years, our union has, and I've been a member for 21 years. We're going on 21 years now.
And you say on your website you're a cancer survivor, you're a U.S. Army veteran. So it's not just your career in construction and iron work that defines you. You have several other aspects to your life?
Correct. And all of them have recently been, you know, affected by what's going on with the government. When I had cancer, I was working two full-time jobs, and not one of those jobs provided any kind of health care. So it's being able to understand and deal with problems that everyday people face.
The idea of how we struggle with our healthcare in this country is really quite barbaric. I mean, often for working people, for low-income people, for middle-income people, and sometimes even for upper-middle-income people, if you don't have really great health insurance, getting cancer essentially amounts to medical bankruptcy, right?
No, absolutely. And that's what it did do to me. Mm. And the thing is that it would be so much better. Every other industrialized nation has some kind of universal health care. And you can't tell me that the people of this country aren't deserving of being healthy. Mm. We could save so much money by allowing people to get checkups every year, which is something a lot of people don't do now because of the costs associated with it, if they are lucky to have health care. But we could catch so many things, earlier. Before they become a big problem. And also, once we're actually pursuing being healthy, I can see us not being sent to have a lot of tests taken, which, costs a lot of money. And it's the insurance system we have now is kind of crazy. The iron workers, we're self-insured, and we're paying an administrator to literally turn down our members' claims.
Wow. Now, you are also a U.S. Army veteran. Tell me a little bit about that. And wouldn't you have qualified for the VA, which is essentially government health care for veterans?
Right. The thing of it is that I didn't know that I had cancer when I went in. Because I didn't have insurance, I didn't go get checked out. But by the time it was diagnosed, the doctor said, this is something we need to take care of right away. So there wasn't any time to go through the paperwork that was needed through
wow.
the VA.
So we are hearing news that the government, after having passed its two-year budget, Congress has written a giant check to the military. Donald Trump has released his vision for the federal government budget that includes an infrastructure plan, but essentially reduces domestic spending and greatly boosts military spending. What do you make of the financial priorities of this government, of this particular administration?
Well, that's the whole thing right there. We're seeing where their priorities are. And it's not about taking care of the people in this country. The amount of money we spend on our military is something else. And I could see a lot better uses for it than not just blowing up things across the world, but then, you know, spending money to go fix it. Let's reinvest in the United States. We see the past 21 years as an iron worker, I've seen with my own eyes what kind of condition our roads, our bridges are in. I know that we're having problems just getting drinkable water that, you know, doesn't contain lead. Our infrastructure is huge, and there's a lot of it that's just becoming dilapidated, and we need to reinvest in the United States. Let's help ourselves out.
We see the ways in which this particular tax bill is going to be used by Republicans as a way to garner votes in the midterm elections. This was their one major legislative win, the other being the spending bill that just passed. But the Republicans are banking on some benefits to the middle class to show that they are, you know, that they can continue to retain the House and the Senate. They're hoping that that will lead them to retain the House and Senate. Do you think that that will play out, especially given that people may not start really seeing benefits till next year, or may not really know how big their benefits are till their tax bill next year?
No, I think what's going to happen, we're informing people that what they're going to have is only temporary, and it's really not going to be much of a benefit when they see that they'll get $1,000 as a result of the tax scam, but they're going to have to pay, let's say, like $4,000 more for healthcare. The Republicans are counting on this, but the word is getting out. It's a very unpopular law right now.
So what are some of the issues that you are making clear you stand for? Because this was a big part of Democrats' problems. The Democratic Party has had trouble clarifying, the establishment Democrat Party, I should say, has trouble putting their vision out to the public clearly. It's supposed to be the liberal alternative to the Republican Party, but you don't have every Democrat saying, therefore, single-payer healthcare, et cetera. So how do you outline your vision in contrast to that of Paul Ryan's for this country?
Well, what we're doing is going to benefit people in a district. And some of the things that we're looking at doing, infrastructure is very important for us. Again, having done this kind of work for 21 years, I know what kind of condition our roads and bridges are in. And every time I drive underneath the bridge, I look up, and too often I see, you know, like the rebar rusting, bleeding onto the cracked concrete. But it's a way to put people to work. They're great careers. Apprenticeships through the building trades are phenomenal sources of training. They cost no tax dollars. And at the end of graduation, the person has a career that they can walk. They can go to work any place in North America. There's no student loans that have to get repaid after it's over with. And we have a hotline set up to find out where workers are needed. Another thing is making sure, you know, raising our minimum wage. I'm in favor of a $15 minimum wage because people that work full time shouldn't have to live in poverty. And of course, Medicare for All is something that I'm in favor of. And we're seeing more and more people come out, whether they're already in Congress or candidates, seeing that this is something that we can't afford to do. It's something that, you know, we can't afford not to do.
How important is it for ordinary people to feel that running for office is within their reach? I mean, we had a reality TV star and failed businessman feel that he was qualified enough for job of president. He's proving that he's entirely unqualified, but he was able to win the election. And members of Congress like Paul Ryan have, sort of given Donald Trump a pass because they're able to use him to get their policies through. Is it up to us, you know, people who may not have experience with elected office to try to take back Congress, even if it means we don't win, just to move the conversation in the right direction?
Absolutely. I mean, I am planning on winning. I understand it's going to be a tough race. It's an uphill fight all the way. But working hard is something I've done for my entire life. We do need more people, more working class people with working class values. That's what I see as our biggest problem now in the government. And I'm being contacted by a lot of people, everyday working people, that are saying, is this something I should do? Can you help me out? And there's a network being set up of helping other everyday people that want to run for office and take back the country from the direction that it's headed.
And what sort of support have you gotten from the Democratic Party, which has not always been eager to support very progressive candidates? The national committee has come under fire for still trying to woo sort of centrist Democrats and centrists, political centrists rather than strong progressives.
Well, very early on, we were endorsed by Congressman Mark Pocan's Progress and the Progressive Caucus. Mm-hmm. Members of Congress have been very helpful as far as reaching out, helping mentor and build connections that are going to help me once getting elected. But we've been getting contacted by a lot of very progressive groups as well, whether it's like the Working Families Party, Democracy for America, NARAL, we've been supported by Vote Vets. There's been quite a bit of national support and labor support too within the district, because I have had, so that's something I have been able to bring with me, is strong labor and veteran ties from already being involved with the community.
In many ways, Randy, you fit the demographic of the American working class base that we have been told over the past couple of years is struggling so much that they threw their weight behind Donald Trump and are, you know, excited about this inexperienced president disrupting the way things are done. But you are the opposite. Your politics are the opposite of those people who voted for Trump, even if your demographic hallmarks might be similar. Any comment on that?
Well, yeah, when I talk with people, a lot of them who did vote for Trump also voted for Obama. They tell me that they like the message. First of all, they like being paid attention to, and they like Donald Trump's message of draining the swamp. The thing is that not only was he dishonest about pretty much everything he made on his way to being elected, but people are also seeing that when he drained the swamp, what he filled it back up with is a lot more toxic.
Do you feel that that working class white Americans in particular are going to be disillusioned by Trump enough that they might support candidates like you because they care about higher minimum wage and care about single payer health care?
Well, when I refer to working class, I consider it, being a very diverse working class. The district is primarily white, but this isn't, our race is making sure to be inclusive of everybody. And instead of this divide and conquer that Donald Trump has been doing, we're bringing everybody together and moving us all ahead. And as we said it in our first video, everybody's going to fall down at some time, and we're going to pick those people up because we're going to need people to pick us up when it's our turn to fall down.
So you've also included in your platform women's health care and reproductive rights and comprehensive immigration reform. How critical is that? Because, again, this is going in the opposite direction to what Trump is trying to take the country. And to an extent, Paul Ryan, because Paul Ryan's happy to go along with Trump, no matter how compassionate he claims he is on the issue of immigration.
No, and that's the big thing. It's you can't divide people up and then once you win an election, try to bring them together if that's how you got to where you are. So we're stating very early on that we're about building coalitions and making sure that, because civilizations are judged on how they treat the most vulnerable. And that's why we need to protect the dreamers, the people that were brought here average age 6 years old, and this is the only country they know. We're the adults, and we need to look after those that are coming after us. So it's very important to let everybody know that they have a place at the table. I'm very proud to say that our last quarter, we had 74% of our contributions came in the form of less than $200 or less. It was a top campaign for the entire country, for those that are already in office or those that are running for office, to have the most low dollar percentage amounts. So it's something very important. One of the first things we did when running too was say that we're not going to take money from Wall Street, we're not going to take money from the fossil fuel industry, and that let people know where our priorities are, that who we're going to stand with. And that just helped. That third quarter, we outraised Paul Ryan by 3-1, brought in $1.1 million. Last quarter, we brought in $1.2 million, and with the added incentive that most of it was by small dollar amounts. So it's very important, and it was also important to get the backing of End Citizens United, which is something that I'm in favor of. I'd rather be out talking to people instead of calling and asking for money. So it's campaign finance reform is something that is very desperately needed as well. And that's one of the issues of our campaign, one of the reasons why I'm running.
And in fact, the Center for Responsive Politics, which tracks donations to candidates running for office, found that in 2017, in the list of House candidates who raised the most money through small donations, you were number one.
Correct.
That's pretty impressive. So, Randy, this particular... So let's finally end with how right-wing reactions to... What right-wing reactions do you have been? The Weekly Standard, which is a conservative news outlet, put out a hit piece on you entitled The Democrats' Fake Mustache. And for our radio audience, our guest Randy Bryce, who goes by Iron Stash, has a great mustache. And this is what the article said. It said, by emphasizing his robust lip sweater, Bryce has tried to imbue his image with all of the positive connotations mustaches confer, that he's an authentic working class champion of the little guy. Your response to that, Randy?
Well, it's basically what they're doing is attacking me for being a working guy that's been struggling for, I mean, they called me out for, having trouble keeping up with the bills that I had when I was diagnosed with cancer.
Wow.
These are things that too many people have to face, you know, whether it's working two full-time jobs and not having any benefits or working a minimum wage job and not being able to make ends meet. That's exactly why I'm running. And so whenever they try to find out, you know, like how much money I made or something like that, it's all open, because that's exactly why I'm running. It's for people like me, for people that struggle to... I see government and being a representative as a means to lift people up without stepping on top of them to get higher myself. So when I see things like that, it just proves how out of touch the other side is.
Randy, I wish you the best of luck. If there's a website you'd like to give out, go ahead.
Yes, www.randybryceforcongress.com, all spelled out. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Randy Bryce is the Democratic nominee for Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District, facing off in November against Brian Steele, the Republican endorsed by Paul Ryan. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.